pass for the mountains, one pair of hands for the sea, one pair of hands made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands formed the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
Pastor Buddy, joining you live tonight, right here around the world on WWRV. We're glad to have you in here. We've got a great program. I want you to stay tuned for the message getting in just a little bit late. It's just something that happens up here, technically speaking, and we're in here tonight, and we know now why possibly that the devil don't want us to teach this message tonight. We're going to have maybe two or three parts, and we're going to give you what is called the rubies and the great price. The role of a woman is what I'm going to teach you, far above rubies, based on the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. It's a great chapter, and maybe perhaps if you have an unbelieving husband or an unbelieving wife, maybe you should probably have them listen even. I believe that they'll learn a lot of things tonight on the role of a woman. And Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12. Now, first of all, I would like to actually give you what is called, what I believe, are the Ten Commandments for a husband. Now, you husbands don't really get the big edge here because you're superior. You're not. Because you are over the wife, you are. But now, when it says that you are the head of the wife, that doesn't mean that you are to treat her like she's something less. She's not taken from your foot, so you don't set your foot on her head. She's not taken from your hand that you could work her and slam her up against the wall. She's taken from your side to be there as a part of you from the side. She is a stabilizer. You know, Adam was... It's strange about a woman. They're one of the most unpredictable things on the earth. They're probably one of the most complicated things on the earth. I think far more complicated than the neutron bomb or a nuclear bomb. And yet they're so simple and so loving and kind. There's nothing better than a good woman, nothing worse than a bad one. And man in his relationship, see, I believe the stabilizer for a man's life is a woman. And as the old saying goes, behind every good man, there is a better woman. And I really believe that that's true in a sense, because man, we know from Adam, he was psychologically unbalanced. Before he got his helpmate, and just as soon as she got there, she caused a lot of trouble. And we're going to discuss why, psychologically, that we are in this predicament that we're in. Let me give you the Ten Commandments, not for a woman now. Let me give you the Ten Commandments for a husband. Number one, thou shalt not take your wife for granted. You will honor and respect her as your equal. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Commandment number two. The highest allegiance except to Yahweh shall be to your wife. Not your relatives, not your friends, not your enemies, but your wife. Genesis 2:24. Commandment number three. Thou shalt frequently tell your wife how important and how valuable she is to you. Philippians 2:3. Proverbs 31:10-11. Commandment number four. Thou shalt hold thy wife's love by the same means that you want it. You ever notice, man, after they get their wives, they're not as important as they once was. But they are. And that's the truth. So you shall frequently tell your wife how valuable and how important that she is. Thou shalt actively establish, commandment number four, thou shalt actively establish family discipline with thy wife's help. Now let me say that again. Thou shalt actively establish family discipline with your wife's help. Now, if you're trying to bring rule and you don't include your wife, or she don't support you, or you don't support her, it's equal that the family discipline begins at the head, but is certainly the rudder of the ship, stirs the ship, and the wife is the rudder. You may be the engine that makes it run, but your wife can shipwreck it if she's not a part of the allegiance in the family discipline. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I am certainly proud of the fact that Yahweh is a strong tower, and that the righteous run into it and they're safe. Remember, number six, to do all the little things for your wife that you did before you married her. Uh-oh. Remember to do all the little things for your wife when you say you will, based upon the scripture of Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. commandment number 7. Keep your eyes on your own life. Glorify her. Praise her. Not someone else's wife or some other female. Give your wife compliments. Encourage her. You'll reap dividends. Thou shalt make every effort to see things from your wife's point of view while considering your point of view. Genesis 21:12. Right? I say this, ladies and gentlemen, or gentlemen in particular, but old Pharaoh was right. And Yahweh agreed with her against Abraham. So, you see, a wife has the equilibrium. Sometimes you can't see the tree for the forest. A wife has got a perspective that only she can have in times. And that's a stabilizer. That's the rudder. Not that she makes the ship go where she wants it. That's manipulation. Some women are good at that, too. But if wife has the instincts of a good woman, she's doing it for the welfare of her home. Husbands, think of your wife as you would think of your mother. It is said by most psychologists that when a man looks for a wife, he's hunting his mother. If that's true, you know how you loved your mother. Love your wife greater than you love your mother. Love your wife as you love yourself. Now that's a hard one. You shall not fail to kiss your wife every morning. And if you would like some reference for that, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 1. So, kiss your wife every morning. Don't go to bed, man. Be fussing and fighting. It's normal for you to have those. That's part of life. Most of it is just disagreement. You can't get on the same page. Most men, after they get mad, they quit communicating. Women will just keep right on. Don't nag your husband. Give him time to think about things. But make sure you're loving and affection so that you won't discourage her. Don't be stingy with your wife when it comes to money. If you really want to spend for everything else, remember that your wife, you have the purse strings. Even if she's a wage earner, as it is written in the Far Above Rubies, chapter 31, which we're going to get into in our series here of Far Above Rubies. But don't be too stingy. And that's based on the book of Esther, chapter 5, verse 3. Now, notice in the 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. Now, when you look at the privilege that belongs to a wife, that is, to love their husbands, as it is commandment, and to be obedient to her husband, in equal sharing of decisions for the family and the home. I always try to let my wife run the home here. And it's not because that I submit to the wife. She submits to me. But when it comes to running a home, what the home needs, that's her job. She's to be a chaste keeper at home. And she should look after her business well at home. And she should raise her children and teach them to be respectful and things of this nature. So, we're talking about the role of a woman tonight. Now, criticism of a woman, backed by Yahweh. You know, when a home is out of order, I can walk in a home and tell you who runs the home or who's the head of the house. I can tell that real quick. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, as for my people. Now, this is generally speaking compared to his people who would obey him, that they submitted to the children of their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your path. Now, there are two things that lead you. A woman, she's not in a leadership role. She's to be subjective to her husband. He's to lead, with the woman being the rudder to guide the ship. Now, a rudder is just a small device upon the household or the ship, comparing the maid or the marriage to a ship. The woman is the rudder. Now, the man is the engine. He keeps it running, and he plots the course of their destination. And when children and women rule in the home, it destroys the way of the law or the path. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8 through 11, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands, without wrath and doubting, and in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, the reason why that women should adorn in modest apparel is when they are proud of their, you know, a woman is very seductive. It's just something that Yahweh's graced a woman with, her hair, which is her glory. And, of course, her shape and figure to most people in the world, and that's what's wrong with the world. Women have got out of their roles in modest apparel and shamefacedness and severity, not with embroidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. It's nice to see a woman look neat and clean, but the most beautiful woman in the world is one that is in modest apparel. She's not flaunting what she has. She mostly, some of the most intriguing women in the world are women that are covered up the most. Some of the most disgusting women in the world are those who uncover. I mean, if you want to see how the world goes, just go to Walmart. Well, I call it Wally World. You'll see some of the most ungodliest, undisciplined women in the world. I mean, they dress every which way. Now, they say that a pretty woman, no matter how she dresses, is good. But once she's nothing to the imagination, even if she's a beautiful woman, it is sort of disgusting that she's flaunting it. And, you know, if it's your wife, yeah, I know you'd feel bad about it. You don't want your wife to go out naked, half naked, or two-thirds naked, or almost always naked. It's sad that she does that. A good, modest apparel, clean, wholesome, her face shining. It's all right to put a little makeup on a woman's face. Not a whole lot, but a little. Because the Bible talks about that. And the Bible talks about a woman wearing jewelry, but don't let that be the focus of your beauty. Some women like to augment, or they feel like that they're not beautiful. And I've never seen an ugly woman. Basically, all women have some sort of appeal to a man in more ways than one. And when a woman is quiet and meek, got a good spirit, she's loving, she's kind, you can recognize that. If she's hateful and vindictive and she's flaunting her body around, you don't like that. She shouldn't have bordered hair with all kinds of gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing godliness with good works, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. Men are to lead, women are to be modest, learning quietly and in submission, And in that way, they prove their claim to godliness. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14-15, Paul said, "These things I write unto you, hoping to come again unto you shortly."
That thou oughtest to know how to behave thyself in the house of worship, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. Now, Paul now is giving instruction for a woman's functioning in the formal service, which would include the service as it is conducted. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, if a woman can't teach, how is it that she's supposed to teach the children or the younger women at home to be as she is? She sets the example. She teaches by example. She teaches in a form of holiness. If she wants to pray, that's fine. She covers her head. If she wants to speak, that's fine. She covers her head. But she's not supposed to teach and take an authoritative role when a man is present. Or men. Even men are to be in subjection. For instance, if you've got elders, the men are to be under authority of the elders. The elders rule. These are the leadership. That's a different role. Not all men are to teach, because not all men are teachers. They're to be taught. You cannot teach a man to be a man from a woman's perspective. Although she knows the difference between a man and someone that's not a man. That's her ability. Men in leadership roles, these are what we consider the elders. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. And that would also mean that not all men are preachers. Not all men have the gift of healing. So you would want to operate in the church even though you're a man. That just don't give you a right to run around and take up authority where you don't have any. Or to exercise a gift and a calling when you don't have any. If you've got something to say, make sure you say it in a loving, kind, constructive way. And then sit down, even if you're a man. A woman should not take the role of a man and stand up if she's got something to say. The Bible said let her ask her husband at home. And then when he has the authority from the elders to speak, and he will have if he's in a good authoritative assembly of worship, then he's to relate. Not to speak for the woman. The woman can speak for herself. If she's got her head covered, she's authorized to speak. But she cannot take a teaching authority or to point out some other man's weakness. That's not her job. That's the authority of the elders. The Bible says she will be saved in childbearing. And what does that mean? It means that her family will be saved. If she sets the example by occupying herself with the duties in the home, and her husband is honored in the assembly among the elders, it's the elders that give praise and honor to whom honor is due. Now, if you jump up, although you're a man, and you run your mouth, and you gossip, or you do all these things, you're not worthy to get up before the elders, because, remember, they don't bear the rod in vain. If they sense that you're just there to convey a old wise fable tale or something like that, then they're going to call you down. Notice this in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she's washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work, that's faithful service in the home related, if she has that reputation, and she is well spoken of in the assembly, then she's supposed to be given a widow's charge. That means the elders, again, see, the elders are the main function of the assembly. They're to, because the assembly is in the community, the neighborhood. And if she's well reported of, and she's 60 years old or older, then she is to receive the pledge of a widow. And if a woman is younger, she is to marry. If she's of childbearing age, she's to guide the house, have children, and be under the leadership of her husband at home, but under the elders in the assembly. You see, the husband is not the ruler of the wife in the assembly. It's the elders that are rulers. Now, they must be chosen for their knowledge, their wisdom, for their love, first of their wives, well respected and given honor, with authority. And then everybody submits themselves to the authority. And I'll say this. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers. Now they can teach. Teachers of good things. Teaching home-related activities to the younger women through example. If you go to some woman's house and you can't find a place to sit down, and you know she's sitting and watched soap operas all the day, or sitting knitted, or doing something that she should be up cleaning her house and taking care of the household. See, a man is honored when he can present to those who come with hospitality from that home a clean, decent home. No, you can't keep it perfect, especially if you got children. Now, the husband just can't come in and plop down and get his favorite magazine or watch the local sports and be a partaker of what it takes for holiness, to be discreet keepers of the family. In other words, he's supposed to help his wife do the things that she can't do. It don't hurt you to wash a dish or to make a bed or to move a piece of furniture or to pick up a vacuum or to sweep the house. That ain't gonna hurt you if you have to do some of that. Now, if a woman is working outside the home, and many have to, these are necessities. When she's under someone else's authority, so are you. When you leave that home, you're the king of that castle. She's the queen. And together the king and the queen run the home, but when they leave there, they become under the authority of those who are paying their wages. That means that they themselves are working outside the home, and they're under the authority of someone else, and they have to take orders. Don't be bitter. Don't resent those who have rule over you, either in the workplace or at home or in the assembly. fulfill your purpose. Do not be proud, boisterous. Listen to this, Proverbs 6:20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. The law of your mother. It's your mother that teaches you the law. My wife right now is teaching our little granddaughter. I picked up a Bible last night, and my wife had sat and had my little granddaughter, which is 7 years old, to write down the Ten Commandments. And I really loved to open up that Bible, first time I'd ever done that. And there she'd been spending time with my granddaughter, writing, teaching her to read and to write. And there it was. That's a keeper. Not only do you keep the home clean, you keep the mind of the child clean. You teach the child to reverence the law of Yahweh. Keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Call to remembrance. Call to remembrance. From a child, it says, you have known the Holy Scriptures. From a child. I was talking to a homeschool teacher yesterday, and she was telling me that she uses the Bible quite frequently to teach children out of. And I said, well, what do you teach them? Well, she said, I can teach math out of the Bible. And you, I didn't realize it, but you can. She said, I can teach English out of the Bible. And she said, I can teach social studies out of the Bible. And she was very good at, when she told me how she'd done it, I was quite impressed that, and she was an older lady, she knew what she was doing. Today in public school, you don't get that kind of teaching. And my wife, who didn't have time to homeschool our little granddaughter, has now, after putting our granddaughter in the first grade, decided to pull her out of school next year. When it begins again, she's going to homeschool and join others who are encouraging to homeschool their children. And more husbands and wives are pulling their children out of the public education system. And ladies and gentlemen, if you just go and sit and listen to what they're being taught and how they act when they come home. Tham and I have been so impressed with children that are homeschooled. We have a friend that just pulled his children, probably 3 months ago, out of public school and is now homeschooling these children. We've already seen a drastic change in personality and their learning ability. We have seen that in no longer than in 3 months. Encourage your children. Teach them to be discreet, to be obedient. That's what a role of the aged women are to do. And this aged woman I was talking to yesterday, a longtime school teacher, teaching out the biblical principles, teaching all of the going on field trips, and counting birds that's sitting on a power pole or something, or a power line. You know, there's so many ways in nature that you can learn things. And teaching with authority, but with love. Giving time to the child that's necessary, answering their questions, because children are full of questions. So that's the ability of an aged woman. It's beautiful when they know how to be obedient, first to their own husbands, and then teaching that obedience and handing it down to the children. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, 34, now 40 or 50 years ago, I was very strong in this scripture that I'm fixing to read. I've since modified with age, and I've learned a woman's place. At that time, I was young, and I wanted to be dominant. I thought that if you rule over a woman, you kept her under your thumb, that Yahweh was well pleased. That's not true. A woman is not to be under your thumb. She's to be by your side with respect. Listen, what is it? As in all churches of the saints, let your women keep silence. Now, I'm going to spell that for you. S-I-L-E-N-C-E. Not S-I-L-E-N-T. Silent. Silence and silent are two different words. For it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame. Other scriptures, translation gives it, it's improper for a woman to speak in the church. Now, if a woman can't speak in church, then she can't confess her sins. If she can't confess her sins, she can't acknowledge Yahweh. It says in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts that Aquila and Priscilla, when they heard Apollos speaking, they took him aside and expounded unto him. They. Now, you would have to think that Priscilla gave him a testimony. And I would think she did. As well as Aquila. And so then a woman is, she has a right to teach outside the assembly. Now, if she gets up in the assembly and she starts to teach, she's out of order. She's supposed to be quiet, not silent, but silence. If you have a silencer on your pistol, it doesn't muffle the complete sound, but it does greatly curtail the sound to where you may not even possibly look up. Otherwise, if it makes a startling sound without a silencer or without being in silence, not silent, if it was silent, you couldn't hear anything. So, a silent is different from silence. If she wants to know anything, let her ask her husband at home. After they talk it over at home, if she's got some questions, then the husband comes, and if he has the ability to teach, then he can make that a subject of his teaching. If he don't know how to teach, then he's to consult the elders who would have that ability, and they're to teach him what he should do, or what he should say, or what the doctrine is that she's concerned about. And then he's supposed to relate it at home, and therefore she has, there's no confusion in the church. Now, if she starts teaching and they start arguing, sometimes your conversation at home could get heated or debated. And I don't care if it's a family thing in church and you get the debating and arguing against each other. People would take sides with that. And it could cause confusion. So the man comes to the assembly, consults the elders. The elders consult each other and give a necessary response to the question. The man carries the question back to his wife and family, employs it, and that's the end of the subject. Notice this Proverbs 6:20. My son, let your women keep silence, not silent. Let them be not drunk with wine, where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto Yahweh. You can't submit to a husband if you don't submit to your Maker or your Creator. You see, the first thing that Eve did, she didn't submit to Adam, she submitted to Satan. Satan, being crafty and cunning, knowing that his chance with the woman to deceive her, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in a trap, he separated Adam from Eve. And then when she didn't have this support system, her husband, to ask him, see if she'd ask him, the Bible said Adam was not deceived. And so all of the suffering, all of the pain, and all of the sorrow comes with the disobedience of a wife in her submissiveness. She submitted to the wrong one, and that's her weakness. A woman is a weaker vessel. And when she gets out of her environment, in other words, if she falls out from under the divine order, we have Yahweh, we have the Messiah on earth as an agent of a type, showing us how we submit ourselves to our Heavenly Father, and us likewise, to our Father, and then the wife to us. And that don't mean that we rule over our wives, or we mistreat our wives, or we hate our wives, or we look down on our wives. But that means that you take them by your side, and you treat them as equals. Now, to be under obedience is also self the law. What does that mean? Meaning that a woman is to love her husband, to give no occasion for the enemy to come in and to sow discord or to divide the house. Now, if her husband is wrong and he will not submit, then she is to consult the elders, just like Samuel's mother consulted Eli the prophet. And he told the mother what to do. He marked her mouth, because she stated a vow. So when you come and bring your business to the assembly, then you're marked. And you are to live with a mark on your mouth. Be slow to speak and quick to hear, but to be better to perform with honesty and sincereness. So if you have to go outside your husband to seek counsel, and sometimes you might have to, you do that very discreet, very shamefaced, and very sincere. And then the assembly, who are to watch over you, both men and women, and all things work to good, so that there will be no schism in the body. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as unto Yahweh. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to the Messiah, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And I underline everything. Now, like I say, if the husband don't have the ability, I mean, here's Abraham. He was going with the emotional side of his flesh man. And here is Sarah with a spiritual understanding. When she said, cast out the bondwoman, Abraham didn't have none of that. He said, that's my son. I ain't throwing my flesh and blood away. And that's natural. And yet she had a spiritual revelation. Yahweh seen to it that the woman and the son, after it was cast out of Abraham's sight, the angel stepped in to take Abraham's place and become a helpmeet for the woman that was cast out and her child. So it is the Spirit sometimes that will take over when you don't have the ability. That's why I said be filled with the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine and get in an argument or think you know it all. Get in the Spirit and follow the Spirit. Likewise, you wives, in 1 Peter chapter 2, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word. Now, this is when you are a believer, you're a wife, and your husband doesn't obey the word, that they may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. Sometimes a wife has the ability to preach the message that she's heard. Where the word can't penetrate, a woman can break through to her husband and win him over. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that are written to you are from the commandments of Yahweh. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband. If any obey not the word, they may be won without the word by the conversation of the wife. If she's learning right, and she's under the leadership of the elders, which can give her advice. If her husband at home, he's not a believer, and a wife is a believer, then she seeks the revelation or the knowledge through the assembly. And likewise, the elders who dispense the wisdom and knowledge that they have through the 9 spiritual gifts that are active in the assembly. They have prophets. They have teachers. With the 9 spiritual gifts working, then they can collectively, as elders in the assembly, they can teach the woman who's trying to win the wife, and through her conversation with her husband at home, he can be won over. It's a slow process. It's painful because he won't come and submit himself to the elders for one reason or the other. Men have got pride. They don't like to be told what to do. And then some people, that's all they want to be, is told what to do. Now, if the elders tell you the same thing over and over and you never get the message, you need to be took aside and you need to instruct that person that will not remember what you've told him or what is said to him or become a doer of it. Then that's where the power of the elders. Now, remember, this has to be done in love. Considering yourself that you fall from the steadfastness and the grace. There are people that cannot learn. There's people that are not quick to learn. And they have to be told over and over, do not be weary in well-doing. If you have to tell them 1,000 times to do right, keep on telling them. For after a while, it'll get in there. And time and chance happens to us all. So, the Messiah, he's the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. And so, therefore, as the assembly, the ecclesia, the members, is subject unto the anointing with the elders running through the commands of the assembly, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, but I would have you know. Now, I've got to get off here. My time is just come and gone, so I didn't realize it had passed that quick. But we'll pick this up tomorrow night. I'm going to continue on the Far Above Rubies message for you men and women that are interested in the concern of the assembly. Write me tonight, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824, Pastor Buddy, and I'll see you. Yahweh bless you.